And welcome to another episode of The Reducer with my good friends Dave Rothney.
Good morning.
And from Mr. David Klein.
A very good morning to you.
Hello there. So, guys, football as always, and I mean, all three clubs, that's Leeds, Man City and Liverpool that we support, have all been doing great business. Well, you know, one is currently committing daylight club approved robbery, buying Phillips for 42 million. We turned down 55 in January for him. It's clear for me. I think it's clear that basically Phillips has said, whoever comes in, that's where I want to go. And that's the end of it. And unfortunately, that's why we're getting 40 million from City as opposed to 55 from stupid fuckers at Villa.
Has he got a release clause?
No.
Contract? No.
No.
Right.
No. But I think what's going on behind closed doors here is Calvin is basically saying, look, you turned down 40 for me when I was in the Championship, you know, and I stayed and we got up and I kept us up. You're getting offered the same money when I could have walked when we were in the Championship. That's kind of fair, despite the fact that since then he's become an England international, he's become established in the Premier League, which has increased his value. But I think that the club recognise, and this is very rare, the club recognise the debt they owe the player. And it's kind of a like, do you know what? You stayed with us. You stuck by us. And we're going to, as weird as it sounds, stick by you by letting you go. And I think I genuinely think there's only one club he would go to right now is City. I think if any other club came in for him, well, you know, okay, you know, Liverpool, maybe Chelsea, no, Man United, no, Tottenham, no, Arsenal, no, he's not going to any of those clubs. So having also been managed by Bielsa, and Bielsa changed his fucking life, not just his career, his life, he was going nowhere when Bielsa came in. If Phillips had been one of the players that was on Bielsa's list of also rans, you can let him go. Nobody would have said a word. No, we'd have gone, oh well, yeah, you know, he was all right. Never really found his position though, did he? Yeah, you know, yeah, good energy, but bless him, just not blessed with any talent. And Bielsa's just, you know, turned him into a world beater. And if I was Phillips, and Bielsa had gone, and we survived, I just think, right, okay, that's as close as to relegation as I ever want to get. And I think that helped as well. So he now wants to go and play for the only other manager that is anywhere near Bielsa, and that's, you know, that, and that's Guardiola. And I think it's without doubt, he'll have heard from Bielsa about Guardiola. He'll know all about it. He'll have been talking to City players in England squads. You know, he'll know all about. And you know, he's one of those people that will be like, do you know what? You know, I want to go and do that. So
do you think he'll be welcomed back, you know, Leeds? So what's the kind of take amongst Leeds fans? Is it, will he go with your blessing, or will there be
the take amongst Leeds fans is that it seems to be that we're pissed off with the owners for only getting 40 million. But everything that I've just said, I think that is, I mean, that's completely speculation on my point. So I'm no better than all the other people, you know, everyone else going on, spouting off on, you know, Twitter or anybody else. But I just think it's a bit more reasonable to assume there's a human level to this transfer, because, you know, Calvin, when we had 40 million on the table from Villa when we were in the Championship, Calvin was given time to think about it. And he came into train one day and Victor Orta said to him, have you made your mind up yet? And he said, to be honest, Victor, I haven't, no. And Victor Orta said, right, well, I'm not selling you then, because if you wanted to go, you'd have gone and you'd have said yes. So I'm not selling you. And Calvin was like, okay, can I have a new contract and a pay rise? Deal. It's always been, you know, and earlier this season, Calvin had his agent contact us about a new deal about halfway through the season. And since then, he's changed agent, and the discussions about a new deal have sort of withered away. But I think, you know, if we'd had another good season under Bielsa, I think Phillips may well have stayed, because I think he would have loved to win something with Leeds and then go. But I think with Jesse Marsh coming in, I think also Phillips sees this is the beginning again. This is the beginning again. You know, it's taken me 4 years to get here. And new manager. And also, Marsh doesn't play with that Phillips role. He plays two in front of the midfield. And as we saw in games when Phillips came back, we all thought, we're used to seeing Phillips make a huge difference when he comes back. And he wasn't. And that was because he was being played as a two in midfield. And all that happens then is that whoever is the other player gets in Calvin's way. That's what fucking happens, you know? The minute we start playing, we reverted slightly back to a more Bielsa style, which we did for the very last game. Fair play to Jesse Marsh. You know, he started Greenwood, who started, I think, two games ever. And he started great, but we went back to more having a bit of width. And Calvin ran that game. He fucking ran it.
From our perspective, I agree. I think we got him on the cheap. I'm surprised. I think we've now got Haaland and Phillips for less than we paid for Grealish. And so just to sort of summarise on where we are at City now, they're talking about Kirkirella from Brighton. And then it's what happens to Gundogan. Bernardo Silva, who I love, he wants to leave. That's fair enough, because he wants to get back to his family. That's an 80 million deal with Barcelona.
Did you say Kookaburra from Brighton?
Kirkirella, isn't it?
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Coachella. Coachella. He's a Catalan.
Oh, Coachella. Right. Oh, fuck right. It. Rockham Rim.
Kookaburra.
Download. Whatever. Yeah. Yeah. The thing about Bernardo Silva is, same as Rafinha, mate. He ain't going to Barcelona. It's not happening.
Well, because I haven't got any money.
They literally can't do it. As in the words of French football journalist Jules Veron, they can't register a cleaner at the moment.
They're sponsored by Spotify, though, so maybe they could get, you know, the squad could start making music.
But even if they sold Frankie de Jong for 100 million to Man United, which I'd love to see, Barcelona can only use 20 million of that in the transfer market. 80 has to go towards the debt. They're fucked. They can't. I mean, Barcelona fans going like, oh, you know, you're imprisoning Rafinha and keeping him from his dream. Get out of the shop. What are you even doing in here? Do you know what I mean? It's like, who let you in?
Yeah.
Sorry. Anyway, you were saying Bernardo Silva.
Yeah, so now it opens the door. So I think Jesus is going to Arsenal. It depends what Sterling does. And then we've got Jesus to Arsenal.
Jesus to Arsenal, who are supported by Osama bin Laden. How weird is that?
Yeah. So, I expect there'll be some outgoings. But unsurprisingly, I'm quite happy going into the new season.
I'm not surprised. Someone said today that basically Man City, at the end of the transfer window, Man City could end up being stronger than they were last season and having made a profit at the end of the transfer window.
Yeah, it still doesn't sit with me as a lifelong City fan, as is used to being shit and the underdogs. I wear this coat of success with a slightly itchy collar, but I'll take it, you know.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean, but you are constantly waiting for when it all goes wrong.
Yeah. I look forward to it.
I think by the same token, there will be a massive, massive expectation they've got to win the Champions League next season. With Haaland and Phillips on board, they have to. They have to.
Yeah, I think, I agree. I agree. I also think it's your best chance to do this as well, because Barcelona have got no money. Mbappe has, you know, refused to go to Madrid and stayed at Paris, which is great because there's another club who can't seem to win the Champions League either, despite the amount of money they've got. I bet there's a sort of private sort of set, there's a private sort of race between billionaires, where a race between countries, who's going to become European champions first? Is it Qatar or is it, you know? I think it's, you know, it's a good season for City Champions League wise. What about Liverpool though, Dave? You know, I mean, what do you think to your, because possibly the most interesting transfer activity so far, which is letting Mane go and bringing in a player for an amount of money that Klopp within 2-3 years ago said that he would never spend.
Yeah. Obviously, very disappointed Mane went, but player what doesn't want to play anymore, what can you do?
Let's be clear. He wanted to sample another league.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And another lifestyle. Yeah,
yeah, that's fine. Yeah. It's like a lot of Liverpool fans, oh, it's terrible. It's like, just, what can you do? You don't like working somewhere anymore. You look for another job. Or you feel that you want a new challenge.
Not football fans. Football fans don't apply how life works to footballers. No. And it's like, and yeah, because you hear people saying, oh, well, you know, we obviously didn't offer him enough money. We should have offered him the same money as Salah's. And it's like, it's not about money for either of those players, you fucking idiots. So
Dean Saunders was saying, you know, why would you leave Liverpool and go to Bayern? You know, he's loved here. It's like, well, because he wants a new challenge.
You show, like, because he's loved here.
And a lot more money.
As someone once said to me, show me an absolutely stunning woman and I'll show you a bloke who's bored of fucking her. Sorry. Why does he want to leave Liverpool? Fucking bored. Get? Oh, great. Oh, it's Anfield, such a special club.
So to sign Nunes, who's such an exciting young talent.
Yeah.
Hopefully it'll be seamless. And Klopp knows what he's doing. I just say to Liverpool fans who I talk to, it's like, you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. And, you know, you're completely, everyone thinks they're a football manager, don't they?
Oh, yeah. A football club's like an iceberg and we can see about 20% of it. Mm. And we make all of our brilliant assumptions and thought. It all comes with about 20% of the knowledge of what's going on.
That's why, I mean, if I want to get anything that's close to what's actually happening, I will usually look at, if I'm looking at papers, it'll be the Liverpool Echo, because they're generally spot on. But there's so much bullshit circulated in the wider press, you know, the Mirror and the Sun and all the other papers. But I think it's a great signing, Nunes. I think he's not on the same level as Haaland maybe, but he's not far off him. He needs another couple of seasons to develop. But I'd like us to sign a midfielder. I think, I mean, they're talking about Bellingham. That's ridiculous.
Wait, hang on. What do you mean? What do you mean? Milner's signed a year contract extension.
Talking about unsung heroes. No, I think...
We'll move into that very soon. But yeah.
We never replaced...
There's one of Rothers's is gone already.
Well, interestingly, there's rumours circulating that Ginny Wijnaldum might be interested in a return.
Well, he's done what a lot of players do, which is chance to go to Paris Saint-Germain. Awesome. And they go to Paris Saint-Germain and they realise that it's a club that is run by the players.
Yeah.
There's no structure and it's the manager is a figurehead.
Yeah.
And it's just... It's like a fucking free-for-all. I mean, you've got Mbappe now, who he's not exactly director of football, but he's, you know, but they've given him 250 million to stay and the fucking keys to the kingdom and basically said, he can sign off on who the next manager is or, you know, and it's not going to be his say, but he's in the conversation.
Yeah.
And you just think, well...
So Ginny might be coming back, apparently, but whether that happens or not. But
that was a great bit of business from Newcastle, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, like, as in from you, buying him from Newcastle.
Yeah. So we got Fabio Cavallio, is it? And the young right back, Calvin Ramsey from Aberdeen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Who looks amazing. His ball skills look incredible. So the rumour is that Klopp isn't going to get a midfielder. What he's going to do is start playing Trent further forward.
Right.
You mean the same move that he ridiculed Southgate for doing 6 months ago?
I know.
Yeah. I know. Also the same man who basically last season said that, you know, 100 million on one player was, you know, it's money in football, but could never see the day when, you know, when you'd be doing that. And then,
but it's just, and then it's all rhetoric, isn't it?
It is rhetoric, but there is also this narrative that's out there that Liverpool do great transfer business and that they're like, they're not one of the mega rich clubs. You know, they balance it well and they're a really good model. And AC Milan looked at the Liverpool model and to rebuild their club. Blah. And it's like, yeah. And you've spent a billion in 10 years. Mm. Fucking calm down, everyone. Yeah. You know, fucking calm down. Where'd you get the moral high ground from? Because you spent £5 less than someone else.
I just would say about next season, the only thing that I fear is that if they're bringing in five subs, I don't know if they are.
Yeah, it's happening. Yes.
I mean, this is catnip to Guardiola in terms of overcomplicating things. He's going to play two different games. He'll play the first half, Guardiola. Second half, he'll play long ball route one. And, you know, I fear what's going to happen because you can bring on five and, you know, you might see these really interesting games where it's just a tactical kind of, I wouldn't describe it as a masterclass, a tactical kind of, yeah, even more chess-like, that it'll just change it completely at halftime. It'd be a completely different system in the second half. And I think we could see a bit of that. It completely benefits the rich clubs. I don't agree with it.
Well, I listened to a very interesting programme last night. And it was two managers, one manager of Rotherham, the other one of Southend, I think. There's a new BBC podcast called In the Moment or Moment of Truth, I think. And it's a 12-part podcast and it's interviews with these two managers during the season. But it's incredible. I've heard some clips already. It sounds wonderful. So have a look for it on BBC Sounds. They were both... when mentioned the five subjects and they just went and Chris Sutton brought it up and they both said, fucking brilliant. Brilliant. And Chris Sutton kept trying to push the narrative of bigger clubs more. And one of them just went, hang on, Chris. You keep saying this, but you're talking to two managers who are down the bottom, who are further down the leagues. And we're saying, yes, go for it.
Really?
It's a good idea.
It's
as beneficial to us as it is to anyone else. Managers get things wrong. He goes, for a start, the amount of times that you want to make a substitution at half-time, but you haven't got the balls to. Because, I should, but it's only half. Boom, I've got a half-time sub now. No matter what. We get things wrong. We don't always get everything right. So, yeah, brilliant. Helps right across the board. Players aren't going to be as fit. More players involved on a match day. It makes the atmosphere in the squad better. It makes training better. It's all beneficial.
What about kick-ins? And you mentioned kick-ins before we started recording.
Yeah.
I hadn't actually heard of kick-ins. So
Dutch second division. They're trying that out.
Ignorance on the matter.
As in getting a kicking.
That's what I was going to say. It sounds like you're giving someone a kicking.
Five aside. Think five aside. Yeah, if the ball comes back in, if you're not allowed to use the walls, you just roll it in. The thing is, though, that you would have to look at how this is played out, because what you don't want is for throw-ins to just become corners anywhere in the last third. So you may have to add certain...
On the ground. Keep it on the ground.
Well, keep it on the ground. You can't pass directly into the 18-yard box. from within that half.
Yeah.
Because the other thing, because what you don't want to encourage is also hoofing.
Hoofing.
Because again, hoofing is more, well, hoofing's more heading, and more heading is more head injuries, which is, again, that narrative has got to be talked about, you know, concussion. So, yeah. Or Allardycing, as it's otherwise known.
Allardycing. Wimbledoning.
But the other one is, and if you thought this sounded like kicking, wait till you hear what this one sounds like, basically stop clocking. So like nearly every other sport, the clock ticks over, referee blows, clock stops. And people are going, oh, I heard some people going, oh, yeah, time wasting, throw-ins, things like that. No, you won't stop the fucking clock for throw-ins, you prick. Right? What you do is you stop the clock. The ref would just have to give a signal. Time out. Boom. Clock stopped.
That's what happens anyway, because you have added on time, don't you?
No, but the clock doesn't stop, does it?
So you mean there'd be no added on time? You just stop. Right, okay.
But that way, it's fucking there. Everyone can see it.
True.
Everybody, all the players, all the fans, everybody knows what's going on, where they stand, you know?
In a way, it's less open to abuse, because there's definitely Fergie time and all that sort of stuff, if you think about it.
Who's going to be, you know, complaining about injury time or complaining about time wasting?
Yeah.
When the referee will just point to the clock.
Yeah.
And the clock will be stuck.
Yeah.
Still not stuck. So it's like, say what, mate, you take as long as you want over that.
Yeah.
It doesn't fucking matter, you dick.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
You know, potential.
That sounds like a good idea.
But also the kick-ins thing, my worry there is A, speeding up the game, which is okay, some leagues might need that, but I don't think the Premier League needs that. It also means if you're speeding up the game, it means the ball's in play longer. It means the players are being worked harder. And yeah, okay, you've just allowed five subs, but you can see where this is going. This is going to, this is going to unlimited subs, squads the size of NFL teams, and eventually wearing helmets to head the ball anyway. So it's going to be gridiron within 20 years, you know, be able to use your hands soon enough.
Yeah. So what I just wanted to ask, Al, we hadn't really finished on to talk about Phillips. What are you going to do with the Phillips money?
I think we're spunking it on a day trip to Flamingo Land.
Okay. Betty's tea rooms.
That would have been Neil Warnock's idea. But we've got our eyes on a Belgian midfielder. We've got our eyes on a Belgian striker. We've already got, basically, if you've ever played for Jesse Marsh or you've ever played at a Red Bull team, there's a bid in for you from us. So we've taken two of Red Bull Salzburg's best players from last season, which, I mean, Aronson at 25 million is a really tasty player. Rasmussen for fucking 10 million is a Danish international right back, and he's like, you know, he celebrates tackles and blocks. Do you know?
He's so Leeds.
He's the spiritual successor to Janssen, who we always said, you know, he'd have headed a brick if somebody had thrown it in the box. But anyway, look, I know Rothers, you've got to leave us, haven't you?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the two of you got better things to do. Any conclusions next season? How are we going to do? Or do you want to do unsung players quickly? One each.
Yeah. Okay. You start.
Milner, James Milner.
Okay.
Pretty much works for all three clubs.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, well, that's that then.
That's it.
It's kind of weird, isn't it? Because we live in an era of so much like stats and footage and everything else. It's hard for anybody to be unsung.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Um, In fact, it's more like, you know, oh, I heard that player was good, but no, they're actually fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
As opposed to, I've never rated that player. Oh, it turns out they're really good.
Yeah, you know? No, you're right, it's changed. It used to be, nowadays, it's kind of players that don't get as many starts, like Ilkay Gundogan at City. You could hardly call him an unsung hero, but because he doesn't play very much when he comes on. I always feel better when he's on the pitch because I just love what he does. And if it wasn't for the fact that Liverpool are our closest rivals, he would go and play for Klopp. He's a real fan of Klopp's, and he'd be great in that Liverpool team.
I'm surprised that he's not, though. I'm quite surprised. But hey, you know, there is some loyalty in football, maybe.
You're going to be hard to knock off your perch next year, that's for sure. The purchases you've made.
And you'll never predict. No. We'll do that next week. We'll predict. We'll do proper predictions next week.
Yeah.
Okay. Because the transfer window hasn't closed, so it's a bit more high risk because anything could happen. And we'll do predictions then, and we'll be allowed to change them like a week before when the window shuts. But I think we're going to have to go all out with predictions next week.
Well, I tell you what. Well, next week, predictions. I think next week's predictions should be we're not close enough to the league yet. So let's have some transfer predictions.
Yeah, okay.
You know, and maybe some predictions on individual players, like, you know, Haaland, what are we saying? You know, Phillips, what are we saying? And then I'll name some players you've never heard of, and that'll be our signings.
Will Grealish stay with his girlfriend? Will Phil Foden stay with his girlfriend? They're not back from Magaluf yet.
But also, I thought there was a quite interesting point made, which is that everyone's going, oh, Grealish, 100 million, he wasn't that good. Yeah, because you judge a player on one season, of course. He is the long-term successor to Raheem Sterling. That's the reason he was bought. And
yeah, I agree.
And as he understands Guardiola's processes better, he will improve and he'll become a reliable lieutenant.
I agree. And what people forget about Grealish was that was the buyout clause. We didn't negotiate that deal. Anyway.
All right, guys.
Next week.
Till next week.
See you next time. Take care.
Cheers guys. Bye-bye. Cheers. Bye.